why the reference to tilted halos will come apparent very soon. But let's get right into the text. Galatians 6, 1 to 10. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. For our purposes this morning, I took this text and divided it into two parts, Tilted Halos and Heavenly Gardeners. The first section that is speaking here of a follower of Jesus who has been overcome with sin, who's been, another translation says, caught in sin. Someone says, fallen in sin. Another translation later says, watch out, other you are going to be deceived. So there's this opportunity. What's happened is that somebody has been deceived, somebody has fallen into, somebody has been led astray into sin. The message puts it this way. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him. Saving your critical comments for yourself, you might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. So in this passage, the first part, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly, spiritual, should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. Here, it's talking about this person being captive, being oppressed, being deceived by sin. Something that's not life-giving. Something that in the end is going to lead to death and decay. It's most likely talking about the list in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. It might be those sins that we as Christians love to stand above and overlook by our own righteous acts and say, we love to judge, and somehow we think that we're better because those people are doing that. We talked about that last week. Brendan Manning, in his classic book, grace-emphasizing book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, pens the following helpful story for us. A man walked into a doctor's office and said, "Doctor, I've got this awful headache that never leaves me. Could you give me something for it?" "I will," said the doctor, "but I want to check a few things out first. Tell me, do you drink a lot of liquor?" "Liquor?" the man said. "I never touch that filthy stuff." "How about smoking?" "I think smoking is disgusting. I've never had my life touch tobacco." "I'm a bit embarrassed to ask you this," said the doctor, "but you know the way some men are. Do you do any running around at night?" "Of course not. What do you take me for? I'm in bed every night at 10 o'clock at the latest." "Tell me," said the doctor, "the pain in your head you speak of, is it sharp, shooting kind of pain?" Yes, said the man, it's sharp and shooting, that kind of pain.
Well then, said the doctor, it is simple, dear fellow. Your trouble is that you have your halo on too tight. All we need to do is loosen it a bit. And he goes on to say this. The trouble with our ideals is that if we live up to all of them, we become impossible to live with. The tilted halo of the saved sinner is worn loosely with grace. We have discovered that the cross accomplished far more than revealing the love of God. The blood of the Lamb points to the truth of grace. What we cannot do for ourselves, God has done for us. Brendan Manning. Some of us, I know at many times, I have my halo on too tight. Some of us here might even have our halo on too tight. Right here on verse 1 it says, you who are godly, spiritual, the Greek says, you're the one to come alongside and help. If we're looking at it in context, we're coming alongside, as the message says in the vernacular, stoop down and reach out. The word here is talking about gentleness, meekness. This is how we are to confront. Or better yet, maybe come alongside. Not in some kind of condescending way, but in a way that says, I've been here before. And if I haven't, I'm able to be soon enough. There's a story of my friend of mine. I'm still doing youth this month and working out like the rhythms of this. And I'm thinking, have I shared this at youth or here? So there, if I've shared this at here, then take it again. But I have a story of a friend of mine who was caught in sin, who was deceived, who was pulled away and into all kinds of stuff that those other of us, or good friends of his, that knew each other and were acquainted and our friendship was forged at Bible school, knew that what he was doing was like not good for him, not good for anyone, not good for things, the future of him, and everything that he was doing, most things that he was doing was dragging him down, and it was a dead-end road. His choices and actions were leading to places of despair and dead ends. And a bunch of us friends who would go to his place, this is just before we were married, a bunch of us, the last of the Mohicans is just getting married this fall. There's about 8, 9 of us that all got married later in life. But we would go to his place and we'd play FIFA, Xbox. We would skateboard at Denny's at 2 a.m. in the morning, play soccer on Saturdays with him. We'd go for coffee, just listen now, and offer to pray for him. Many times he'd say no. And his parents would continue to pray, love, and accept him as well. I remember that another friend of mine would meet me at my office in Newton at 6:30 in the morning for 2 months straight, weekly, to pray for this friend of ours. And I remember distinctly one morning when we're there at 6:30 and we've had our cup of coffee and we're barely awake, that my other friend, Greg, just looked at me and said, what do we do? I said, I don't know. And he started praying and he just started weeping for my other friend. And then I just started weeping. Here we are, two grown men, 6:30 morning, weeping for a friend of ours that we knew was doing things that wasn't life-giving for him or others around him. And we would pray and ask the Spirit of God to do his work, his will, his way in our friend's life. We kept including, we kept listening, we kept inviting, we kept loving, we kept praying. And then one time we invited him, said, hey, you like to play soccer? Come play in the church league. And this is sometimes how law is really, law and grace gets muddled up and mixed, because he had to sign a contract that he would go to church for 4 months while he played soccer. He's like, sure, I can do that. I love soccer. I love the beautiful game. I'm not sure about the beautiful church yet. And so he signed this contract and he went to church faithfully every week for 4 months. And at the church, what he found there was a group of people that were not perfect, but were stumbling forward in faith. Faith in a God that is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who stoops down into humanity to rescue and to carry burdens. Over time, with patience, with love, with prayer, and in that community, that friend now is an elder at that church. And I asked him, a bunch of us were at Denny's about a year ago and we were chatting about things. We go every 6 months or so. We meet up for bad coffee and good conversation. And I said, hey, trying to figure out, do we do the right thing there? Should we have just like grabbed you and punched you right in the face and said, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this the right way? Do you not understand? Like, we have a couple of really big guy friends. And they're like, yeah, I could have just done it. We could have just taken you and, you know. And he's like, and we're like, what was the best way? How do we do this? And he looked at us. And he said, I think it was the best way. I don't know how I'd respond if someone would have been with aggression, would have been revealing anger, would have been revealing something antithesis of the fruit of the Spirit towards me to change to be that. Do you understand? And so he says, I knew that you continued to love. I knew you continued to accept. I knew that you continued to pray for me. Wow. And it wasn't just us. It takes a village. And it's parents and other people. And so there's hope in the midst of that. As we reveal the character of God to other people, we don't control, we counsel. We don't try to make them do what we want them to do, but we are accountable to our own actions, and we love the way that God has loved us. This is what Paul's talking about here. And that takes a little longer, but the fruit of that is deep and rich and beautiful. The fruit of control, of making people tell them exactly what to do and how to think and what that looks like is what we talked about last week. It looks more like a Christmas tree. It might look good for a while, but at the core it's dead. And so Paul is saying here, there's things that we are to do and to live and to live. And when people are walking through and experiencing this, these burdens, but also these choices, we are to continue to love as the Holy Spirit directs us. So who can you come alongside this week? Who can you pray for this week? And ask Jesus to give you a heart for this person. Who is it that you could include this week? If no one comes to mind, your halo might be on too tight. And we might need to loosen it a bit and to see your own bent things in your own life so that you can empathize with others. Mine's on tight most of the time. Verse 2 talks about carrying each other's burdens because it's the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Paul says it here in 5:15 that we talked about. It is love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus has carried our own burdens. Jesus has carried them all the way to the cross. And one of his final words when Jesus hung on the tree for you and for me and for all of creation was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He knew that we didn't understand. He knows that we need to understand his love for this now. And we need to know and understand this new understanding, and we need to understand it's his love, his peace, his joy, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and Jesus' self-control. And against all these, there is nothing that can stand against it. Jesus might reveal himself in and through you for other people. And it might be through people that are bearing burdens. And those burdens might be something that they've chosen. But it also might, and sometimes if it's chosen, sometimes we kind of like, well, deal with it. But we need to come alongside and help. Meekness, gentleness, is not weakness. It's strength under control. So we can correct without arrogance, impatience, or anger. Meekness has its basis in love, and it cannot, therefore, think in terms of harsh punishment. And I say, God, have mercy on me as a parent. There's my bent halo every day. According to this passage, this is what it means to be spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit as we walk with people. This is what it means to be godly. As we are spiritual people, come alongside people that are walking with and dealing with earthly things that are confounding them and making them choose otherwise. It is the spiritual person that comes in the midst of who Jesus is with love, compassion, patience, grace. And we trust that by the Holy Spirit, as we pray for them, that there'll be a turnaround. Might you know someone to pray for this week? Might you know someone to be thinking about this week, today? If someone comes to mind, write it down. Write it down. Write their name down. Then Paul does what Paul does here. He gets us thinking. He says this and he says this. And we're like, how does this make sense? And then he says, oh yeah, and then carry your own load. Sometimes there's a bit of contradiction happening here. But what I think he's saying here is that carrying each other's burdens in verse 2 is balanced with each of you must carry your own load. A few months ago, I was at a camp in northern Alberta at the end of October. I was speaking with Canadian University students. And the camp director, it was a pioneer camp, he was so encouraged that he had about 25 strong, able guys there because he hadn't taken the docks out yet. We're talking big docks. The morning that he was scheduled to ask us to come take the dock out, he said dock at the beginning, and then we realized there was 5 sections of docks that we had to take out. There was ice on the lake. And so we're breaking ice and we're pulling some of the floating docks up, and we had these docks that we had to lift up. And the water was only maybe up to your knee. But it was cold. Very, very, very cold. And so then it was like, it was perfect because he says, all right, man, who's the man out there? I'm like, oh my goodness, he's doing that. Oh. And we're like, okay. And there's some people like, do I hop in? Do I not hop in? What do we do? And almost all 20 guys hopped in the water. There's a few people that needed to be up top to direct people. Whatever. All hopped in. These things were heavy. They're old. They're made of like thick iron and steel. And we got in. And we got underneath these docks. And if we were to drop, like someone would have died. But there's this aspect that he had to get, it was his burden to get these docks out. That was what he had to do. But could he have done that on his own? Absolutely not. And it took a group of people to do it, actually imperfectly. There's a couple times that it slipped and we're trying to figure out, and finally someone just like, let's do it. And it was a bit of chaos. And yet to have 12 guys or so that were around these docks to lift it up, to talk, to hear someone barking instructions in front of us, and to have it go, what a satisfying feeling. And I am sure that it took at least almost like 2 hours. Like, a little confession, I was one of the first ones to get out of there. We put it up, but I was also the first one in. So I was like, come on, guys, trying to coach them. It's not bad. And here we go. We got the docks up. We were able to lift up as a team and bring them up and put them away. And then all of a sudden, I just scampered off. And I went into my little cabin and I turned on the really bad fake electric gas heating. It was supposed to be gas, but it's not. It's like electric fireplace. I just was jamming my feet in there. And then I went into the hot tub, didn't have a hot tub. That would have been good. Into the hot shower, and it just took me a while. It was hard to do, but it was so joyful, and it was a lot of fun. Why do I say this? Burdens are meant to be helped by other people. This is how Jesus has revealed himself to us. He says, you can't do this on your own. I'm going to do this. In fact, we also have the story of Jesus carrying his cross to Golgotha. And what happens is someone carries the cross for him. And he's actually already explaining this to us and showing us to him who he is. And so Jesus does this for us. And we are to do this for one another in this way. It's a reminder that we also, in the midst of carrying other people's loads, we also have our own load to carry. I want to say just a quick thing about this, is that sometimes we can be so busy helping others that we miss taking care of ourselves. Or we can be so far out of community that there's so much harsh stuff going on with us that we don't have anyone around us to help us carry our burdens either. Or we don't feel vulnerable enough to share it. But I'll take it from my perspective, or rather, if you're a people-pleasing person, sometimes you're so apt to help other people. Oh, no, I'm fine. How are you doing? I'm fine. Oh, how are you doing? I'm fine. And sometimes you forget to actually work on your own stuff. Just because you're incredible at helping people and taking care of others doesn't mean that in the end you're not actually accountable for your own actions and the way that you lead yourself and love yourself. This is what God is wanting us to understand as well. That we also have our own stuff. And what does that look like? And how can other people help us carry that? But also, how do we make decisions in our own lives? So I think this is what Paul is saying here when he talks about these things. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 18 to 20, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. We still have a burden to bear, and yet with Jesus, it's nothing ill-fitting on us. It's something that's light, and actually we have freedom to bear it and say, look what I can do. Heavenly gardeners, let's jump to the next verses. Heavenly gardeners, those who are taught the word of God and should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest the decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Here, Paul is talking about there's soil of the flesh and there's soil of the Spirit. What are we sowing into? What does it look like? The paradox of this situation is that the flesh assumes that the righteous guise, or more accurately, sanctimonious demeanor that exalts self and despises others, especially sinners. He's trying to play on that a little bit. So he's talking about the Judaizers here in the whole context of Galatians, right? And he's saying, if you're doing this, like, this is what you're thinking, and you're making them do this, you're actually putting something ill-fitting on them. You're actually supposed to be helping carry their burdens, not add to it. Do you understand? So this is exactly what he's speaking to the Galatians, to the Judaizers that have come into the Galatians, have said. He's like, what do they know? You're supposed to help bear people's burdens, not add to it. And so here, this is what's happening, the soil of the flesh. And the flesh compares and says, I'm better, in this sense, I'm better than you, or I can't do it at all. And the soil of the spirit is speaking about this idea of what is the spirit of God? We just talked about that. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. These things. Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's it. This is it. Galatians 5:15, Paul says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. This is it. This is the law of Christ. This is what we're to do. We are to be doing. There are endless ways of doing good. We should not tire of doing that. Sometimes I wonder, we talk about, at different times we go, I want to get deep into what God has for me, deep into the Word, deep into what the things of God. I don't know if you can go any deeper than loving other people as yourself. How? It's easy to be around people that look like you, that act like you, that sound like you. It's way harder to be around people that aren't like you at all. And that's called your neighbor. Jesus does another step farther. He says, okay, love your neighbor as yourself. So neighbor, and love your neighbor, love your enemy as yourself. So now he's talking about loving enemy, neighbor and enemy. So Jesus is basically saying, everyone. This is the deep and profound things of who Jesus, what Jesus is. The Spirit of God is revealing to us. How do I love people the way that Jesus has loved us? Not how do I confront them with my own righteousness. How do I serve them in love? Do you understand the difference here? There are endless ways of doing good, and we should not tire of that. I want to mention a couple of weeks ago, I was able to go to Paul and Ruth Ann's Global Disciples dessert. A few of us were there. Unbelievable, Paul, Ruth Ann. Just want to say what you are doing, wow. And you need to talk to Paul and go to the website and check this out. Verse 6 could pertain to him. We need to pay our missionaries well. We need to share. This is what they're talking in this way of sharing and giving. And it was a fundraising dessert, and it was fabulous because what they're doing for the gospel of Jesus Christ is amazing. And I hope that we can hear more from that in the weeks, months, and years to come, Paul. He's shared story after story of Global Disciples, how they're working with indigenous leaders, teaching, mentoring, and equipping them to live out the good news of Jesus, to ask and to have these people who have never heard the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus. That is good work. Talk to him. He can find out more great ways that you're able to sow into that. With your love, with your prayers, and with your money. You might not ever be able to see the harvest, but we sow. And then this Thursday, Chantel Hilton and I were able to go to a luncheon that my friend put on. He runs an organization called International China Concern. And they're called to bring the full life to China's abandoned and disabled children. These are people that have been discarded, literally left at on garbage dumps, left at bus stops. Can you imagine on Father's Day? Can you imagine a father just not knowing what to do and just saying, because a whole system is broken on how to care for children? And yet they employ over 350 people to love children, to look in their eyes, to cuddle them, to speak love, to know their name. And we were taken back by the way that ICC is planting God's kingdom gardens in the lives of these severely oppressed children. And they are flourishing. There are people right near you, beside you, and your families at work that are in need of some help to carry their burdens. I'm learning gardening from Sharon. We have a community garden plot. It's maybe the size of this stage, half the stage, 10 by 10 or so. I'm a very impatient gardener. I plant seeds and I water it and I wait and I wait and I wait. And it's a really hard thing and I wait. And then at just the right moment, I'm like, oh, there's like a little blade of grass coming up, it looks like. And Elliot says, what is planted there? I said, carrots. Carrots are coming up there. He goes, it doesn't look like carrots. I go, they're carrots. He goes, how do you know they're carrots? I said, because I put carrot seeds there. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. There's tomatoes that come up because I put tomato seeds there. There's cilantro that came up because we put cilantro there. Paul's also saying that grace is abundant. Grace transcends karma. But there's also this aspect that what you sow is what you reap. That's the way the world works as well. And as we sow in love, we're not saying that we're going to reap love, that people are going to love us. But we sow in love the things of God. Then what happens is Jesus the planter comes and allows something beautiful to plant and to be spring up in his garden, his kingdom, something that looks beautiful, something that is authentic and real, something that has fruit in the end and tastes good. Let's choose what we are to sow. You know what we're able to sow. What can we sow this week? This month, this week, this year? What are the soils? What are the soil of our hearts? And what are we the soil that we're choosing to plant into? Do you know the soil that you're planting in? Our neighbor of the community garden, they came and they put a whole new, someone had it before, they put a whole new fence in, and then they bought a whole bunch of soil in. They worked for hours. They took all the soil out from the old plot and they put a whole bunch of new soil in. I said, that looks like great soil. They're like, it's awesome. And they put down like a big underground tarp and they said, there's no seeds in here. No way. I mean, there's no weeds in here going to be in here. I said, no problem. I said, where do you get the soil from? Oh, from a guy that was just selling it off the back of his truck. And I said, okay, great. Just, you can't tell what are the weeds, what aren't. It's just the soil was just full of weeds. The soil that they thought was good that they put there was just full of little weeds, and it was just unbelievable. You can't even tell. Everything was coming up the same time, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if they know their soil. Do we know the soil that we're planting in? Paul's talking about here. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Are we able to administer that kind of planting in our friends, our families, and those around us? So don't give up. There's going to be a harvest. Receive God's good grace for you. Would you allow Jesus to help you carry your burdens? 2, might you be able to receive God's grace? There's people here, maybe for the very first time, who never received God's grace. You're able to do that today. Whose burden can you help carry this week? Where might you be able to reveal God's grace? And 3, what good are you able to do this week? The good that we receive from Jesus, may we be ministers of that goodness to others. Jesus, thank you for your kindness to us, your love towards us, your grace towards us. Thank you that you are wanting to reveal your good soil
in our lives and where we are to plant. God, help us tilt our halos. Help us see and be humble in our own lives, that we might receive the good grace that you've given us, Jesus, and that we might just not hoard it and hold it to ourselves, that we would be ministers of that good grace to others. God, would you empower us? Give us a person's name to pray for. Empower us and give us courage to invite our neighbor over. Give us courage to listen. Give us courage to be vulnerable even, and allow someone else to speak into our life because we might need it. And help us see places where we can sow, where something life-giving, magnificent, and beautiful will be planted. Whether that's International China Concern, whether that's Global Disciples, whether that is investment in a young person, whether that's here at this church, wherever this would be, Jesus. And I pray that we would hope and hang on, because the harvest is coming. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Empower us to do just that. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.